your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Health Forum with Ruth Sackman. All comments, views, and opinions are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. In the next hour, Ruth and her guests guide you through the maze of health information and misinformation out there. So pull up a chair. Here's your host, Ruth Sackman.
Well, I'm glad to be here once again on Wednesday. I don't give you the time because we're heard not only on the East Coast but on the West Coast, and the time element is different. But before I introduce my speaker today, my guest today, I want to give you a brief idea of what this program is going to be about. 30 or 35 years ago, when we were active in the organic food movement, and we need organic food. Cancer patients need it. Other people need it. They cannot have pesticide-laden food. But the little mom-and-pop stores were very careful about what they had on their shelves and what they provided for their customers. Well, the situation went from that point to a $22 billion industry. Now, what happens when that money is available? Someone takes a look at it and wants a little piece of the action. And so what has happened in recent years, I think some of the food processors, not organic food processors, put pressure on a government agency, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and they came to the fore to help them. Actually, they should have been in a position to protect those of us who had built up this movement, and instead they began to help the food processors, the established food processors. And what they did was take the word organic and apply it in a way that was very different from what we understood it to be. We understood it to be free of dangerous chemicals, pesticides, things that were causing harm, and instead the USDA made a decision that organic could apply even if there was 5% pesticides in the food. Now we're all at sea. Many of us who have been in this movement for a long time and helping cancer patients to get organic food cannot tell the difference between real organic and the 5% pesticide organic. And we'd like to change that. Now, I was on the telephone when this happened. I was on the telephone calling many of the organizations that I had heard about. And I finally came across one that really delighted me. And that's the Organic Consumers Association, or OCA. And my guest today is representing their organization. His name is Ronnie Cummins, and he's been an activist since 1960, my time. So let me introduce Ronnie to you, and he's going to present the facts about OCA so that you will understand how you can participate. And we're going to try to arrange for an army of people, actually, to fight back and regain the word organic to mean what it meant originally and what it should mean. And I think we can do that. If there are enough of us involved, we can accomplish that. I want to say something else. There are loads of little organizations out there, such as ours, the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, not so small, but we're not a million membership. You've got other cancer organizations, National Health Federation, Cancer Control Society, People Against Cancer, the Anthroposophic Society, health food stores. All of these people are concerned about what's going on. What they need is one unit to organize it into an active element. And this, I feel, the Organic Consumers Association can accomplish. Welcome, Ronnie.
Good to be with you, Ruth.
All right. Do you feel that way, too?
Yes.
That we can organize and fight back?
Yes, well, today in the United States, for example, there's about 50 million people that are buying organic food.
Yes, yes.
There are another 50 million people who are using alternative medicine and visiting alternative health practitioners. Although these two constituencies overlap to some extent, we don't completely overlap, and we need to create a synergy between the alternative health movement and the organic community, and this will make us into a mighty force that not only can change the dynamics in the marketplace, but can force the federal government and our state governments to make changes in public policy as well.
Sure, it's the power of the people exercising their rights.
Yes, and what's interesting is that over the last 30 or 40 years, we as consumers have learned that you can vote with your pocketbook or your wallet every time you go to make a consumer purchase. But if you will cast your vote for health and sustainability and justice, and if enough of us will do this, we can actually force the corporations and encourage retailers to do the right thing and producers. But the next step is we've been starting to vote more and more with our pocketbooks, but organic consumers and alternative health consumers have not gotten organized
That's
to force
it.
Congress to change public policy. This is the next step we have to take.
You know, I remember when we were organized, we had an umbrella organization, which was the National Health Federation. And whenever an issue came up, they would make sure that all of us participated, and we fought back the FDA many times and won. What happened here was we were all complacent. We had gained ground, and we became complacent, and there was no umbrella organization to coordinate everything. And I think Organic Consumers Association is right on track, especially the material that they send out on email.
Yes, well, if any of the listeners are interested, we have a very large website, organicconsumers.org, which is like a huge daily newspaper,
yes,
where we post articles every day on issues surrounding things like food and health and environment, and we offer a free subscription to our electronic newsletters, and we offer opportunities for citizens to get involved in their local communities, to meet other like-minded people, and get active. And we now have about 400,000 subscribers to our free biweekly newsletter, which is called Organic Bites. And it's very popular because Organic Bites, we take the most important articles of the last several weeks, and we summarize them for people who are busy. But we also give people the opportunity to click on and read the full article and to take action if they're willing. And so, you know, we're happy we've grown to this size in 8 years, but we have to get 10 times larger if we're going to stop some of these powerful corporate forces. It's not only the big pharmaceutical companies, but it's the fossil fuel lobby, it's corporate agribusiness, it's the military-industrial complex who are really leading this country and the world down a path that can only be described as a path of suicide.
Well, I was actually outraged that that since we're trying to save our lives, trying to maintain health, that a government agency would come along and say, well, you can't do that. You have to eat this way. You must take those pesticides. This is practically what they're doing.
Yes, the only way that the organic community has been able to maintain organic standards to the extent we have is by fighting back, by
absolutely
writing letters to Congress, complaining at our grocery store, and being proactive by going to the farmers' markets, buying the real organic food from the local and regional producers, you know, joining these CSAs, which stand for community-supported agriculture,
mm-hmm,
whereby groups of people get together, pool their money, and buy
cooperatively
during the growing season. Yeah, and these buying clubs, and just using their common sense. I mean, you know, everyone knows, if you think about it, that a convenience food, a highly processed convenience food, even if it is organic, is not as healthy for you as a whole food, a fruit, a vegetable, a grain. And everyone knows, if you think a little bit, that cooking from scratch not only makes stuff taste better, but it's healthier and it's cheaper. And this notion that people say, oh, I can't afford organic food, whatever. You can afford organic food if you'll get back to the basics. Eat more simply on the food chain. Eat more seasonally. Eat like our parents and our grandparents did, which is the traditional way. The same thing goes for medicine. I mean, 50 million people are turning back to traditional remedies and herbs to improve their health, to promote wellness, because the medical profession, the medical industrial complex, has failed us miserably. And in combination, these giant special interests, like the big pharmaceutical companies and the HMOs and corporate agribusiness and the Walmarts and so on, have basically created a system that makes us sick, and then they turn around and profit off of our sickness. And, you know, a large segment of the population, young, old, and in between, are starting to take back control of our lives, our health, our diet, our medical situation, and this is a good omen, not only for us in North America, but for people all over the world who are having the same thoughts and starting to take the same steps.
You know, we have to find ways to provide good food for the cancer patients who are on a biological therapy, and they're successful doing that. We have patients today who have 30-year recoveries because they've opted to repair the body chemistry through good food. If that's taken away from them, they're going to be in trouble. Now, I want to add something else that I came across recently, and again, it's so appalling, it's hard for my mind to actually conceive this. They find when they examine the blood of infants, that blood is already polluted from parents, and they start out. See, many of us started out in a purer world, and we probably are stronger, have better constitutions. But as the generations go on and you start at birth with these pesticide-laden blood and have to go through life constantly taking in more of that, I don't know what's going to happen. I think what we're going to see is that these chronic degenerative diseases are going to increase. Ronnie, that's our signal that this first segment is over, and we can sit and wait. And let me notify the membership. There is an opportunity for you to call in, and let me give you the number, and I'll give it to you again. It's 866-472-5792. 866-472-5792 if you want to call in at the halfway mark. We'll be here. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
Tune in to Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Health Crusades seeks to enhance one's lifestyle, physical, mental, emotional, financial, and intellectual empowerment. Your host, John Farley, the author of Living Lean and the creator of the revolutionary Sleep Slim Weight Management System, brings expert guests to inform and entertain you each week. A live healing circle is also provided for those facing life-challenging health issues. That's Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
All right, we're back on the air. I'm glad you're with us, and I'm here with Ronnie Cummins from the Organic Consumers Organization. And I think this organization has the power, the knowledge, and is directed to help us to recover the organic areas so that people can enjoy the fact that they're getting pesticide-free food. Well, Ronnie, let's go ahead with what we had started talking about.
Yes, well, certainly the good news is that 50 million Americans are thinking before they pull out their wallets to buy a food in their grocery store, their farmer's market, and as a consequence, $15 billion worth of organic food were sold last year, another $30 billion of food products labeled as natural. So about 10 cents out of every food dollar now in America is going for products labeled as either organic or natural. And there's such a strong demand that many of the companies producing natural products are moving into made with organic or organic. And many consumers who first started buying natural products are realizing that organic is better, and so they're moving from buying natural to organic. So that's a tribute to American consumers that already 10% of every food dollar is being cast to make purchases that'll make us healthier, or they're better for the environment, better for farm workers, better for small farmers, and so on. The bad news, unfortunately, is that big corporations like Walmart, General Mills, and the rest have seen that consumers want healthy and organic products, and so they're moving into the industry, and they're moving with a vengeance, and they're lobbying the USDA to lower organic standards, which have been traditionally high and standards you could believe in. The good news, though, is that most organic foods today, especially whole foods, these are fruits, vegetables, grains, beans, meat products, that you can rely on that organic label. We've seen a decrease in the standards in regard to organic processed foods. These are foods that include some synthetic ingredients. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, if we think very long about this, we realize that we shouldn't be eating a whole lot of highly processed convenience foods anyway. Even if they are organic. Mm-hmm. So if we go out, especially to a farmer's market or a natural food store that's been in our community for a while, you really can trust when it says organic. However, if we don't get organized and get more vocal, what we're going to see is that these big corporations and supermarket chains are going to lower standards, and they're going to be importing more and more so-called organic food from countries like China, where, of course, slave labor is the norm and where organic standards are dubious at best. So we need to protect and maintain the integrity of organic, we can do this if we will get organized. And one of the main tasks to me is that a lot of health-minded people in the United States who have turned to alternative medicine and alternative medical practitioners still haven't changed their diets that much. I mean, maybe they're taking some good nutritional supplements and they're changing their lifestyles a little bit, but a lot of people think that health and wellness are going to come through those pills and those visits to the practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we need a well-rounded lifestyle. We need to change the way we eat. On the other hand, we've got about 50 million organic consumers in the United States who are buying organic food on an increasing basis, but they're still relying on Western medicine completely for their...
needs a re-education.
Yeah, and they need to open their eyes to the fact that holistic or integrative medicine and wellness promotion have to go hand in hand with changes in your diet, or else if you lead an unhealthy lifestyle and eat, and just think by eating a bunch of organic convenience foods and feeding those to your kids or your grandkids, everything's going to be all right. Well, it's not. And the other thing is that we need the size. We need an army of concerned citizens and consumers who realize that health and diet go together, and that this cancer epidemic, for example, that we have in the United States, where, you know, 38% of men like myself are, you know, going to get cancer at the normal rates, this is not normal. It's not the way things used to be.
I think your figure's a little low. I think that for males it's 1 out of 2.
Oh, okay.
And women 1 out of 3.
Yeah. And, you know, this is, it's an issue that the big pharmaceutical companies and the HMOs, they just want to tell us all, well, it's just because people live longer and that's why more people get cancer.
Yeah, it's an artificial way of looking at things.
Yeah. And I think that, for me, the eye-opener was back in 1962, Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring.
Right.
You know, and then in 1970, Francis Moore LePage's book, Diet for a Small Planet.
Mm-hmm.
And these, they reawakened in a lot of us things that we had already been told by our grandparents, especially. My grandparents were organic farmers in East Texas. But it's important to realize that humans have been cultivating crops for 10,000 years around the world.
Without pesticides.
Without pesticides. It was always organic until approximately the end of the Second World War.
That's
when
it happened.
And the big chemical companies and the big armaments companies actually decided that they were going to cause a revolution in agriculture by introducing billions of pounds of toxic pesticides and chemical fertilizers, that they were going to start giving drugs to the animals to make them grow faster and to make more money, that they were going to start highly processing foods and taking the vitamins and nutrients out to make convenience foods, and that they were basically going to brainwash American homemakers and parents and children into believing that the old ways were bad, the organic traditional ways, and the new packaged cereal filled with sugar and flavorings were good. And to some extent they succeeded, but they're losing the battle now for the hearts and minds and stomachs of the people, thank goodness.
Yes, thank goodness. And we've got a little battle on our hands now. I want to say this. During your talk, you said something about importing so-called organic from China. We must realize that when our U.S. Department of Agriculture or our FDA decides that a pesticide is too potent or too harmful to continue using it, and of course they stop the pharmaceuticals or the chemical companies from selling them in the United States, that does not stop them from selling it abroad. And although we had a standard here that farmers had to adhere to, we didn't think that was good enough. There is no standard in these companies abroad. So importing from other countries today, you need to be doubly careful.
Yes, and we need to realize that food and agriculture is not some minor issue in the world.
It's the life of a person. Gasoline is the life of a car. Food is the life of humans. It's that simple.
Right. 40% of the world's population are still farmers, or else they live in rural communities. And we cannot sit back and let our government implement policies that drive these 2 billion people off the land, because there's nowhere for them to go, there aren't any jobs for them, and then we face a situation like we have in the United States today, where for 50 years our government has systematically undermined the economy of Mexico, for example, by not letting them become self-sufficient in terms of oil refining and production, and by destroying the economy of Mexico, the rural economy. So we've got all these small farmers in Mexico. There's 10 million small farms left. They're all going bankrupt now. They have nowhere to turn but to make the dangerous crossing into the United States to try to find any kind of work, because the wages in the United States are 12 times higher than they are in Mexico. Meanwhile, our government is using our tax money to subsidize crops like corn and cotton.
Well, they did that even earlier. They did that under the Roosevelt administration, and when it was no longer needed, it was a windfall for the huge farmers who had acres and acres and acres of land. Actually, these were enterprises more than they were farms.
Exactly.
You see,
it's the way it works in the United States.
But, you know, I think we've got enough to talk about without getting into the weaknesses or the things we need to correct that government is doing in so many areas, but this particular area is so crucial to the health of people. And as I say, we are a cancer organization. I'm the president of the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, and the focus here is to shift the patient. Oh, there's our music. All right. Let me give our telephone number again, Ronnie, and we'll be back after and continue where we were at, no doubt. All right. The telephone number to call, if you want to call in and ask questions, is 866. Of course, 1. It's 1-866-472-5792. 866-472-5792. We'll be back. Glad to have you back with us.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine, FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
Tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart, the program that takes you on a journey through grief after the death of a child. Join Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist and bereaved parent, while she interviews and discusses with other bereaved parents and siblings how they have coped with the death of a child and gone on to create and realize new dreams. So tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart with Dr. Gloria Horsley, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
All right, we're back with you. We had touched briefly on the fact that some people feel that organic is higher in price than the conventional market. That's not always true. I shop organic, and of course, let me tell you, my supermarket had kiwi at 79 cents. My health food store had kiwi, organic kiwi, at 50 cents. So that you can shop around even in the health movement, and it's wise to do that because that's one way to keep the competition and to make sure that you're getting the best price. Now, let me say, we're back on the air with Ronnie Cummins. This is the segment where you can call in if you want to, or just plain listen. And I'm going to give you the number again in case you didn't get it or didn't write it down. It's 5792. Let me say it again, be sure. It's 1-866-472-5792. Well, we're back and we've got a lot to talk about a very important subject because we think, and I think you'll agree with us, that these chronic degenerative diseases are becoming more prevalent. We also think that some births are taking place where there are complications. I know a family that had a baby with Down syndrome, although there's nothing in the background there, family background, for that to have happened, and things of that kind do take place. So I think we're wise if we're cautious and try to do the best we can to see that we don't eat the poisoned food. But if you do have to take some, the body has the power to remove some of it, but you can go on overload. Well, Ronnie, I don't want to take any of your precious time because what you have to say is so important to us. And I want the people to know and understand how important it is to get in touch with the Organic Consumers Association because they are going to be the catalyst that can join people together into a powerful movement. Don't you think so?
Yes, if people could just, after the program, go to their computer or go to a library or a neighbor, someone who's got a computer, and just go to our website, which is www.organicconsumers.org. You can sign up for our free newsletter, and it'll come to you by email, and you can also take note of the fact that our website, which is free, of course, is like a giant daily newspaper where you can get your news on health and food and sustainability every day. And you get some of the good news, too, about changes that are happening not only in the United States but across the world, where it can keep up your spirits to realize that even though we've got these big corporations making us sick and profiting off our sickness, we have the power of the people starting to make itself felt, not only in the marketplace, but now even in terms of public policy. So the problems that we see out there in society that are diet-related, for example, 8% of Americans have serious food allergies today, and up to 20% have some type of food sensitivities. We're now finding that about 17% of our children are being diagnosed as having learning or behavioral disorders in school. That the figures Ruth corrected me on earlier, 50% of women or 50% of men getting cancer, about 38% of women or one-third. We have an epidemic, obviously, of obesity, of heart disease, and of birth defects. All these are related directly to diet, to the environment, and to the impact that
water
environment had on our children and the water. Americans are spending billions of dollars on bottled water primarily because our government has allowed corporate agribusiness and industry to use our waterways as a sewage system. They're dumping their pesticides and fertilizers and animal manure and industrial waste straight into the surface waters with minimal treatment, and then wondering why so many people are getting sick.
I know you'll pick up where you left off, but let me say this. There are over 1 million new cases of cancer each year. Compare that to the war, the World War II, if you want to. You see, this is a war we have to fight, which is taking more lives. But I'm sorry to interrupt you, Ronnie.
And I think that's important. Here we're talking about a cancer epidemic in the United States, and yet the government, for example, is allowing conventional dairy farmers to inject cows with a controversial genetically engineered hormone called bovine growth hormone, manufactured by Monsanto. This hormone is banned in every other industrialized country in the world, and yet in the United States, approximately 15% of all the cows out there on non-organic farms are being injected with this drug. Now, what scientists tell us, like Dr. Samuel Epstein from the Cancer Prevention Coalition, or the Consumer Reports scientist Dr. Michael Hansen, when you inject cows with this genetically engineered hormone, yes, it forces the cow to give more milk, but the milk that comes out of the cow has got a substance in it, insulin-like growth factor number one, that substantially increases your chances of getting cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, and other cancers. And yet our government is allowing this cruel, inhumane drug to be used simply because corporations like Kraft and Dean Foods and the other big dairy conglomerates want to force these poor cows to give more milk. They don't care that it causes more cancer. They just care about more money. So that's one of the reasons why people are turning to organic dairy products, because it's against the rules of organic production to give the animals any kind of drugs, and certainly it's against the rules to inject them with bovine growth hormone. So that's one reason why today in the United States we're actually seeing a shortage of a supply for organic dairy and organic meat, because so many people want to buy it, but we don't have enough farmers yet who are certified organic to produce what we need. So we need to, among other things, change public policy so that we can start helping these deserving small family farmers who want to make the transition to organic, these dairies, these citrus growers, these vegetable growers. They need a little economic help to make the transition to organic. Once they're certified organic, they'll get a decent price for their products. They will no longer need subsidies.
That's right. Gee, there was something I wanted to say, but I was listening to what you were saying so intently that I forgot what I wanted to say.
Well, one other thing I think we need to keep in mind in terms of public policy is In the United States, we spend about $850 billion a year on food, but only a little over half of that is what we buy at the grocery store or at the retail level. The other half of our food budget is food out of the home, restaurants and institutional settings like schools, hospitals, nursing homes, corporate cafeterias. And when we think about it a little bit, the food, for example, fed to patients in hospitals is atrocious. You know, it's the cheapest,
low-grade
food they can find. They don't care about anything in most of these hospitals other than making money.
I don't think they understand either. It's not, it may be not caring, but it's not even understanding.
Yeah, a lot of doctors, you notice they have terrible lifestyles. They work a huge number of hours a week. They eat junk food. They don't think it's strange that there's a hospital cafeteria with a McDonald's in it. Here they cut you open to fix your heart, but the food that's available in the hospital...
It's as though they have no understanding that this human body functions on food. As every species functions, the birds know what they're supposed to eat, we have things that we're supposed to eat, and it's as though there's absolutely no connection whatsoever. I wanted to mention something else when you said restaurants. I'm in the New York City area, and more restaurants, better restaurants, I'm not saying that it's going to be the hamburger places, but better restaurants are beginning to use organic food, many of them, and they're using herbs that are grown organic for their seasoning because they say it tastes different. It tastes better. And, of course, you know chefs have a great sense of taste.
Yeah, I think it's important when we go out to restaurants, if we ask the restaurant, the managers, if they're using organic, trying to source organic foods, and if they are, tell them they should say this on their menus so that it educates patrons of the restaurants. Because it's true. I mean, organic is not only healthier for you, it tastes a lot better.
Tastes different,
especially if it's regionally grown and it's in season. And it's exciting to see this is sweeping the country. Also, we have 80,000 school districts in the United States that are supposed to be educating our kids and grandkids, and about 200 of them have seen the light so far and are starting to offer organic food to the students, and they're also starting to change the curriculum to where they have things like organic school gardens, you know, where they have curriculum where students are taught from an early age all about the food chain and all about nutrition and all about how, you know, if you develop good habits when you're young, you're going to be a lot healthier as you get older. So schools, it is absolutely important we start feeding kids healthier food.
Well, see, that's the way everything starts. You're saying there's 200 at the present time. Hopefully it'll continue to grow. But we're going into the next segment. We're at the tail end of this one. I'm going to give the telephone number again in case someone does want to call. It's 1-866-472-5792. And we'll be back. And I hope you're getting a lot of benefit out of this program. I think it's crucial.
Your life, your health, your network. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's core quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with the vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
Are you tired of being tired? Are you sick of sitting around while life passes you by? You can get back on track by tuning in to Voice America Health and Wellness every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time for Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look. Attracting Abundance is the program that empowers you to finally break through your limiting beliefs and blocks and shows you how to succeed in all areas of your life, from improved financial abundance, health and weight problems, as well as your relationships. Don't wait another week to be joyful. Listen to Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look, this Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
All right, we were talking during the intermission about the fact that the growth hormone that is being added to the cows so that they produce more milk, there had been a flurry of activity for them not to do that. But since the group didn't win what they had requested of the government, that at least they have it labeled that the milk was coming from cows that had been injected with the human growth hormone, and the government refused to do that. It's as though we want to do what we're doing. There may be some harm in it, but we're not going to inform you. Now, even in the medical community, there is a law that says when you're giving a patient some drugs, that the patient must be informed. And if they're not informed, that patient runs into some adverse reaction, they can sue the doctor and they will win. Well, why isn't the government obligated to do the same thing? And if they feel there's no harm in it, why would they not want to have it labeled that the cow has had human growth hormone? I'm going to take some of Ronnie's time and tell you a little story that I think is important. We had a patient come to us many years ago. He was 25 years old and married with two children, but he was unable to work, and nobody knew what was going on, and he was completely without hair, pubic hair, underarm hair. He couldn't have a beard. Well, we brought him in. A doctor was in New York, and we wanted the doctor to look at him and see if he knew what was going on, and what was determined that was 10 years earlier, when he was 15 years old, he was very small, and he begged his mother to do something about it, and she took him for growth hormones. 25 years later, he's incapable of working, he's idle, he's got a family and two children, and he's in bad shape. This is what happens when it happens 10 and 15 and 20 years later. They don't connect it to the original cause. So we've got to have the government clean up its act, so that we can have a cleaner environment, cleaner water, cleaner food, and just clean. All right, Ronnie, I hate to take up your time because I think it's so valuable and so interesting. So
Well, I think this issue you brought up of the bovine growth hormone, it is bovine growth hormone being injected into the cows. Not
it's the same consistency,
hormone.
Though. It's a hormone.
Yes, it is. And it has it's the same chemical, this growth factor in cows and in humans, so that the human body can't tell the difference. And it causes cancerous cells to multiply out of control when you've got too much of this IGF-1 circulating in your bloodstream. And this is what happens when they inject the cows, is a lot of IGF-1 is circulating in their bloodstream. It's like bovine growth hormone was the first genetically engineered food to be developed in the United States. It hit the market in early 1994, in spite of the fact that scientists and consumer groups and dairy farmers even were adamantly opposed to it, and despite the fact that the European Union and Canada and other countries were saying it was dangerous and it shouldn't be approved. And what the government noticed, because they took their own polls starting as far back as 1985, they saw that American consumers didn't like the idea of these chemical and biotech companies manipulating their food and genetically engineering it, and basically using us consumers as human guinea pigs. And they found in poll after poll that consumers were against genetically engineered food, and that if companies were going to be allowed to genetically engineer our food, things like injecting cows with bovine growth hormone, 90 to 95% of Americans said it had to be labeled. And the government and the big companies like Kraft and Monsanto, they read these polls and they said, well, if we label genetically engineered foods, obviously consumers aren't going to buy them.
Well, then they shouldn't have them.
Exactly. But what they have done since then is they have allowed a huge portion of America's farmland, 1 out of every 7 acres is now dedicated to genetically engineered crops like soybeans,
corn,
cotton, canola. You know, about 15% of our cows are injected with bovine growth hormone. They're now talking about pig growth hormone and genetically engineering animals and so on. And the whole reason why this genetic engineering has gotten to where it's gotten is because they've taken away our right to know. You look across the ocean to Europe, which is the biggest agricultural market in the world. The reason why they don't have any genetically engineered foods or crops growing in Europe is because citizens still have the right to know. Products over there, it's legal to grow some genetically engineered crops. It's not legal to use bovine growth hormone. It's legal for farmers, in theory, to grow some crops, but none of them do grow genetically engineered crops because they and the supermarkets and the food processors know they're going to have to label those products and consumers will know. So the bottom line is that all these controversial technologies can only succeed if they take away our right to know. And that's why it's so important that we fight for our right, not only in the medical realm, but in the food realm, to know what's in the products that we're buying and exercise our good sense and our judgment and our ability to research to stay away from the unhealthy, problematic medical products and drugs and foods and stick to the traditional, tried and true, safe, tested stuff.
Of course. You know, it's right for our government to protect industry, but not to protect industry only and not protect the consumer. It's their obligation to protect both, actually. You know, you mentioned canola oil. You know, that comes from a genetically engineered seed. It comes from rapeseed, the canola oil. I was in the supermarket and I saw a bottle labeled organic canola oil. In no way can that canola oil possibly be organic. It still has in it some of the erucic acid, which is the poison that's in the rapeseed. It still has some of the erucic acid even after it has been genetically engineered. Well, this is the kind of thing that we're involved in, traps of all kinds when we go out there to shop. We need the government to begin to be concerned about the vast majority of people instead of the minority of business only. Now, I'm not saying not to take care of them, but it can't be one-sided, business only and damned for the consumer.
Exactly. I mean, none of us are against honest businesses.
That's right.
Honest profit. What we are suffering from in the United States is a government that is favoring big business at the expense of small business, and that, for example, doesn't care at all about preserving our traditional family farm system, does not care at all about our traditional mom-and-pop retail system, and is really handing over our tax money and changing public policy so that our entire society becomes one big Walmart serviced by factory farms in China and all over the world.
Actually, the government agencies were first set up for the express purpose of protecting the consumer. They were consumer protective agencies. Now, if that was one-sided and they wanted to lean a little to the other side, fine. In other words, protect all of the people there. But none of these government agencies seem to be operating as consumer protective agencies. FDA, which is the Federal Food and Drug Administration, their relationship with the pharmaceutical industry is much too cozy, which it should not be. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, here again we have the same thing. You have FCC. We're coming to the end of the program, which I think, Ronnie, has been most enlightening. I hope the public takes up the cause, joins forces, and we can conquer all of this. Everything that we've been talking about that has been negative, I think, can be turned into a positive situation. Don't you?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we can. We the people, when we're organized, we will see that this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. All right. It's been awfully nice to have you, and I really thank you for joining me, because the invitation was sent out somewhat late. But I think it's been most rewarding, not only for the listener, but for me as well.
Thank you for listening to Health Forum. To contact Ruth about the show, visit fact-ltd.org or call 212-741-2790. That's 212-741-2790. Tune in next Wednesday for another hour of Health Forum with Ruth Sackman.